Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio tonight. We're going to have to change the format just a little bit tonight because we were going to do a discussion on the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to hold off on that because of various reasons. And we want to remember to pray for Dean tonight, that the Lord will touch him and heal him in the name of Jesus, because he and I both believe in healing. And we thank you for tuning in. And we're going to cover tonight a subject that is going to be basically one-sided tonight due to the issues here. But we're going to talk tonight about the 70 weeks of Daniel. It is something that's seriously misunderstood. People don't understand it. It's been interpreted so wrongly for so many years and then applied to the wrong thing. I hope we can straighten some of this out tonight. So tonight's lesson, if you will, is going to be my commentary on the 70 weeks of Daniel. And this commentary is taken from many different sources, my own as well as a lot of others. But we want to go into what the 70 weeks of Daniel actually mean, so we can see from that where it comes from. Also, too, I want to mention that we, in our discussions, made an error the other night when we were talking about Paul and his 14 years on the backside of the desert. We went back, double-checked, and researched, and we discovered that Paul was in Arabia for 3 years, not 14. When he gave the vision that he saw of whatever happened to him, it had been 14 years, but he was not in Arabia for 14 years. He was in Arabia for 3 years. So we wanted to go back and let you know that we went back and researched it and found out that that Paul was in Arabia for 3 years. And I think you can find that. I believe it's in Galatians chapter 1, if I remember right. So we'll get that straightened out too. So let's begin here and let's look in the scriptures. And let's look at Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, and verses 24 through 27. And let's read these verses here. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the men there shall will be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cease the sacrifice, and the oblation come to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, as we're going along tonight, we do have a call-in number. It is 646-787-8634, and I trust we can get to you with that call. We may not be able to tonight. I don't know because I can't get the calls. So just hang on, and we will go through this. And if there's any questions or things like that, feel free to email us at at pastor_dean@yahoo.com, and he will get the emails, and we will be glad to answer your questions. That's, again, that's pastor_dean@yahoo.com, and we will be glad to answer any questions you may have, because I don't think our call-in is going to work properly tonight, okay? So thank you for that. Now, in Daniel 9:24-27, that gives us the prophecy we're going to be talking about tonight. But there's an explanation that goes with that, so that you can see here what it is. It's in Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, and it says, and this is applying to Ezekiel, it says, "Lout thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of days. 390 days shalt thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Israel." And what this is telling us right here, that sounds like a whole lot, but basically what it's telling us is this, is that according to the Lord himself, God himself, he made one day equal one year. Remember that. That is real important in the 70 weeks of Daniel, because it represents 490 years. So let's begin, and I'm going to cover some things here. And again, this is going to be commentary on this. So I want you to please listen, pay attention. And again, if you have any questions, email us and we'll get back with you, okay? On the 70 weeks of Daniel, of all the controversial topics found in the Bible, none other has been so abused and misunderstood than the prophecy known as Daniel's 70 weeks. There is no other messianic prophecy that so perfectly foretells the coming of Christ and the year of his baptism and crucifixion. So why is this 70-week prophecy of Daniel 9 so misinterpreted? The true answer can only be attributed to our adversary, that is Satan. The most significant reason of course, is that this prophecy of weeks is perfect proof that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Non-Messianic Jews would realize they had missed the first coming of Messiah if they had understood this prophecy. But they avoided it, believing this passage is cursed. The one passage proving they missed the Messiah, and they won't read it. Who would you say is responsible? And what would you say if I told you that many people now think this prophecy foretells the coming of Antichrist? Oh, so this is where they get it from. Okay. A little bit of history. As part of the Counter-Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church commissioned Jesuit priests to write counter-interpretations of Bible prophecy as a counter-response to the Protestant Reformation when the finger was pointed at them as being Antichrist. Spanish Jesuit Francisco Rivera proposed that the final 7 years of the 70 weeks of Daniel was a future Antichrist, and that Antichrist would bring an end to sacrifice in a rebuilt temple. This is where the supposed 7 years of tribulation comes from before the second coming of Christ. But this was manufactured prophecy, written with the sole purpose of deceiving Christians on the true identity of Antichrist. When has a Bible passage ever been so abused by Satan, attributing Daniel's 70th week of Jesus' baptism and crucifixion and applying it instead to Antichrist? It's outright blasphemous. Daniel's 70 weeks is actually not that difficult to understand, and current historical information makes it relatively to get accurate dates. Despite this, there are an alarming number of people who believe there's an unknown gap of time between the 69th and 70th week that originated from the Spanish Jesuit Francisco Rivera. Chuck Missler and many others have been deceived by this, and sadly are deceiving countless others. Publishers Weekly printed that Left Behind authors Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye took the fictional future one-man Antichrist idea of Rivera, Bartlemaine, Maitland, Todd, Newman, Irving, John Darby, Cyrus Schofield, and Hal Lindsey, and made it into the most successful Christian fiction series ever. So all of that has to do with fiction. It has nothing to do with the truth of Scripture. All of that is pure fiction. The book, the first one that really hit the markets that made it real popular among the current generation, was the book The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. It was primarily theological, and this limited its appeal. But Left Behind series was a successful series of fictional works, so much so that John Hagee, Jack Van Impe, and Peter and Paul Alon Television Ministries worked together and produced Left Behind, the movie. This venture received a redemption from the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal that resulted in an interview with Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye on the Larry King Show. This Left Behind fiction is now teaching much of the same Jesuit futurism as Francisco Rivera, which is hiding the real truth on Antichrist and some fictional seven-year tribulation period that did in fact originate from an outraged abuse of Daniel's 70-week prophecy that foretells the coming of Christ. Now, I trust you folks are still with me on this, because this is important. This is one of the primary issues within the church today, because it has to do with Christ, not the Antichrist. Futurism, through this highly imaginative and fictional Left Behind series, has unleashed a huge wave or tsunami-sized tidal wave of false prophecy, which is sweeping over the entire world. I mean, everyone believes movies and books, right? Thus, we now have all this false teaching circulated on some illusionary secret rapture and seven-year tribulation period, as many have taken these books as being primarily true and teaching that they are biblical truth, even though these books are fictional. Consider the following in regards to this erroneous gap theory. If you purchased a house on monthly repayments, but made your payments every 6 months, do you think that bank would accept this? Obviously not. How do you think the bank would respond if you told them that you were in fact paying your monthly payments every month, but you had added a five-month gap between the third and fourth weeks, making your monthly payments actually occur every 6 months? Do you think they would accept your reasoning? Probably not. It would be far more likely they would call the funny farm and have you committed for some serious help. They would also tell you that 1 month is 1 month. Daniel's 70-week prophecy is also just like that. It is not 70 weeks plus some indefinite period of time thrown in between the 69th and 70th week. To quote the obvious, that will no longer be 70 weeks. The angelic interpreter speaking to Daniel declared exactly how long it is, and nowhere does Scripture say we can manipulate time periods by adding time in where we choose. This is nonsensical foolishness and not supported by the Bible anywhere. Those teaching these erroneous heresies have tragically been deceived by our adversary Satan, who has succeeded in having them spread this Jesuit-spawned propaganda. Too many people underestimate what the enemy can do and has done over the centuries and continue to do so. And just to clarify, since some have misunderstood in the past, yes, the Bible does say we go through tribulation, but we're not told how long. Scripture says that except the days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. And yes, Scripture does teach there will be a second coming of Christ that many refer to as the rapture, but the word rapture is not found in the Bible, nor does it teach that it will be secret. Let's see if we can try to explain Daniel's 70-week of prophecy. The book of Daniel was written while the Jews were in exile in Babylon because of their sin and rebellion against God. Daniel 9:24-27 has a prophecy spoken by the angel Gabriel to encourage the Jewish people as they were going to be given a second chance to end their sin, end their rebellion, return home, rebuild Jerusalem and their temple, and ultimately receive their Messiah, being, of course, Jesus Christ. All these following events described here in Daniel chapter 9 took place in 538 B.C. Soon after the Chaldeans, Babylon was conquered by the Medes and the Persians. Daniel 9:1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Daniel had often studied the book of Jeremiah and understood that the last 70 years of slavery for his people had finally come to an end. Jeremiah 25:11-12. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolations. Jeremiah 29:10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place. Daniel 9:2-3. In the first year of his reign, Darius, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years of the desolation of Jerusalem. Verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So Daniel knew that the 70-year captivity was about to be over with, and they were about to return home. They were about to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They were about to rebuild the temple, which had been torn down, and they were going back. Daniel understood this, and the angel Gabriel gave him the most profound prophecy in chapter 9 that spoke of the Messiah. It was very clear. It had to do with Messiah, Jesus Christ. Rebuilding of Jerusalem was delayed because of their rebellion. Thus we find in verses 3 through 19 that Daniel is in fervent prayer and fasting to his Creator God, seeking forgiveness for the sins of himself and his people. Daniel 9:4-5, and 17, it says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confessions, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and we have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and from your judgments. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. We could pray that today. During Daniel's prayer, the angel Gabriel appeared to Daniel again. In the previous chapter of Daniel 8, the angel gave Daniel a vision describing a 2,300-day or 2,300-years period of time. However, because Daniel collapsed, he was unable to hear the entire interpretation of the vision at that time. But in Daniel chapter 8, verses 14 through 16, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as an appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eli, and called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. And Daniel fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Let's go to Daniel 9:20-21. And it says, and while I was speaking and praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening sacrifice, of the evening oblation. Gabriel now tells Daniel he's going to explain the vision he had at the beginning. However, nowhere in Daniel 9 do we see Daniel having a vision. The last vision Daniel had was in the previous chapter of Daniel 8, when he collapsed and was unable to hear all Gabriel had to say. Plain common sense and logic tells us that Gabriel is about to finish telling Daniel what he was too sick to hear before when he fainted. Remember, there are no chapters or verses in the original Hebrew or Greek text and are added. Men added those. 9:22-23, and he informed me and talked to me and said, "O Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications and commandments came forth, and I am come to show you, for you greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." Note that the word determined in Daniel 24 comes from the Hebrew word chakat. See Strong's number 2852 in Strong's Concordance, which literally means to cut off or to be marked out. In other words, the angel is telling Daniel that 70 weeks have been cut off or marked out for the people of Israel. But how do you cut off this time? It would have to be cut off from a larger period of time, which can only be the 2,300 days or 2,300 years in the prophecy of Daniel in 8:14. I know a lot of this is wearisome, and there's a lot of facts and information in here, but if you don't lay the proper groundwork of what all this entails, you miss a lot of what's being said. Once we get to a certain point and get into exactly what that 490 years meant and the interpretation of it, you will see the importance of all of this stuff. Sometimes teaching and instruction can sometimes seem to be wearisome, but if you hang on, you learn something. Don't turn it off. Don't turn away. Hang on and you'll learn something, okay? Just hang in there. The angel Gabriel is about to illustrate a period of time that is cut off, a longer period of time, that is marked out specifically for the people of Israel. This brings us to the main passages of Daniel's prophecy. The entire passage of Daniel's 70 weeks is first for a case study, and so the context can be seen before we explain the remaining verses. This very controversial prophecy literally reads, we just read it earlier, 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city. The next verse, know therefore and understand that from the going forth the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince shall come destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And at the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. We find in Daniel 9:24 that God gave Daniel's people 70 weeks to end their sin and rebellion against him. But if they ignored this warning, when God would reject Israel and his chosen nation, when Bible prophecy is symbolic, the proven and established day for a year principle applies. We've talked about that in Ezekiel 4:6, and it's also in Numbers 14:34. So Daniel's 70 weeks, 490 days, is actually a literal 490 years. Daniel 9:25 informs us that these 70 prophetic weeks began with the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That's when the 70 weeks started. That's when the 490 years started. Daniel 9:25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. This is a well-known starting date for the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. It was given by Artaxerxes in 457 B.C. Now, you find that decree in Ezra chapter 7, verse 13. Again, 457 B.C. was when it was given. You find that in Ezra chapter 7, verse 13. Remember, this date was also the beginning of the 490 years God gave Israel to end their rebellion. And so on the 490-year probation period ended in A.D. 34, where the Jews ceased to be God's chosen people. Daniel 9:24-25 informs us Messiah would be anointed after a total of 69 weeks, which is 7 plus 62 of these prophetic weeks of fast. That is 483 years. And that equals the 490 years minus 7 from the 457 B.C. You got to follow the math in this. It is absolutely critical. If you write to pastor_dean@yahoo.com, we can send you a chart that explains this math. It makes it very plain. The mathematics are plain. They're right there. You can see them. From the 457 B.C. degree date and brings us to the year A.D. 27. This was the exact year Jesus was baptized by John and the Holy Spirit anointed him for his ministry. The Greek word Messiah means anointed one. And so we know this can only be fulfilled of Daniel's 70-week prophecy that the Messiah would appear in A.D. 27. The Jewish probation period was 70 weeks, but Jesus appeared as the Messiah after 69 weeks. So the 70th and final week is left for Christ to minister before the Jews' probationary period ended. What happened in this 70th and final week? This is critical. Daniel 9:27 gives us the answer. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. The midst of the week is half of the 7 days, being, of course, 3.5 prophetic days, which is 3.5 literal years, being the time from the baptism of Jesus to his crucifixion. And as you would expect, the Bible confirms the ministry of Jesus lasted exactly 3.5 years. When they crucified Jesus in the spring of AD 31, the temple veil was rent from top to bottom. You find that in Matthew 27:51, which signified the end of the sacrificial system. By his own death, Jesus caused the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. The remaining 3.5 literal years brings us to the end of the 70 weeks and the Jewish probation. The disciples labored mainly for the Jews during those 3.5 years, and in AD 34, the 70-week period of time of their probation ended when Stephen was stoned after his immense speech before the council in Acts chapter 7. The Jews had rejected the gospel message and so were no longer God's chosen people, and thus the gospel began to go to the Gentiles in Acts 8:4. The Jews now receive salvation as individuals in the same way we do. There is no separation. The Bible teaches that there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor freedom bond, nor slave. It teaches us that everyone, all, must come to Christ. And it's only through Christ that we get to the Father. There is no other way. You can't set up another system, go back to the old sacrifices, back to the old oblations, back to animal sacrifices. It cannot be done. That was done away with. When Jesus died on the cross, understand this, let's get this straight. When Jesus died on that cross and he said, "It is finished," it was finished. That veil was rent from top to bottom. Interestingly enough, for those of you that are Bible students, the Ark of the Covenant was not in the holy place when the temple was rent from top to bottom. It was off in Jeremiah's grotto. It had been hid some years before. But at the end, at the 3.5 year period of time, sacrifice and oblation ceased. All that old Levitical law, the customs, the ceremonies, the priesthood, everything was done away with. It was completed. It was fulfilled. It was gone. And they had the opportunity then, after Christ's resurrection, to receive him as their Savior. And the disciples, after the day of Pentecost, primarily for the next 3.5 years, preach primarily to the Jewish people in Israel. That was what they did. Even the commission of Jesus was first in Jerusalem. Then he says, go into Judea and into the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord knew what was coming. And so they chose to reject the Messiah, and as a result, they wound up being cut off. Now, where was I at here? There are different opinions on who the people of the prince refers to in Daniel 9:26. But the majority of the scholars that I researched, however, do agree that the destruction of the city and sanctuary applies to the second destruction of Jerusalem and the rebuilt sanctuary by Roman armies under Prince Titus in 70 AD. So in 70 AD, the exclamation point was put on it. We talked a little bit about this on a previous Facebook teaching. We covered as it was in days ago. We talked a little bit about Matthew 24. We covered a little bit of that. But that's where the whole thing was destroyed. People were scattered and they went everywhere. So what was Israel was no longer Israel. It was dispersed throughout the world. It no longer existed. Note two, remember the 70 weeks of 490 years was the time God gave his chosen nation to end their rebellion, where they would then be forgiven for their transgressions. Now note that Jesus references this prophetic time period while conversing with Peter on the topic of forgiving. 70 times 7 is, of course, 490. For you Bible students, research that one. That's a good one for you. Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? In verse 22, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Good research topic. For those wondering, the well-known accepted day for a year rule is correct. Otherwise, the entire ministry of Jesus would only be in 3.5 days instead of 3.5 years. And the entire prophecy would only have lasted about 1.3 years. That would be from 457 B.C. to approximately 455 B.C. The temple and the streets and the walls of Jerusalem would have been built in 49 days. This would be an impossible task, and it certainly did take every bit of the 49 years, as one would expect. So let's just clarify these times again. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon your people. 70 weeks is 70. 7 days, which is 490 prophetic days, which on the day for a year rule is 490 years. Daniel 9:25, let's go through it again. Knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And we know that we know in Ezra and Nehemiah that when they were rebuilding this, that Sanballat was a big problem to them. Daniel 9:25 states that from the decree to rebuild the temple until the Messiah, that means the anointed one, which can only be Jesus, is 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 60 plus 2 equals 62. So this 7 plus 62 equals 69 weeks from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem until the beginning of Christ's ministry. The ministry of Jesus began at the allowed age of 30 years with his baptism. And in Luke 3:22, that's where we read this. And the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. So how do we get to the year of baptism to be 27 AD when it states that Jesus was about 30 years old? When the time of this was first calculated, there was an error of 4 years made as many now know. Herod was still alive when Christ was born and did all he could to try to kill Jesus at that time. But history records Herod's death to be in 4 B.C. After the error was recognized, the historic facts became even clearer. Jesus was born actually in about 4 B.C. and then baptized in 27 A.D. at the age of 30. Another good one for you Bible students, check that out and see if that isn't true. Jesus was not born in year zero. There was no year zero. He wasn't born in year one. He was born in about 4 BC. In the 7 weeks, 49 days, equals 49 years, the time it took to build the temple and streets, etc., and the remaining 62 weeks brings the baptism of the Messiah. Note that Christ means the anointed one in Greek, while Messiah means the anointed one. Daniel 9:26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and then thereof shall be with the flood, and come unto the end of war and desolation are determined. This leaves only the final 70th week, which is 7 years, to complete the 70 weeks of Daniel. 7 plus 62 plus 1 equals 70 prophetic weeks, or 409 years. We are told that after the 62 weeks, 6 plus 2 equals 62, that the Messiah would be cut off. In other words, cut off from the land of the living, that is, killed by the crucifixion. This happened after the 62-week period, which follows the 7 weeks. So this is the 69 weeks into the prophecy. Note that it says after this time period, and not at the end of the 69 weeks exactly. So how long after the 62 weeks was it when Jesus was crucified? Daniel 9:27 again. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall call the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Daniel 9:27 tells us exactly when after the total of 69 weeks Jesus was cut off, but not for himself, for he was cut off for us, as he died for our sins. Note that it states that he, Jesus, caused the sacrifice and oblation to cease in the middle, in the final 7 years, which is 3.5 years. That's what it comes out to be. When Jesus, the Lamb of God, died on the cross, he became our one and final perfect sacrifice and put an end to the temple sacrifices. This was signified by the temple curtain being torn from top to bottom. And behold, in Matthew 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now, I'm of the belief, I have no scripture to substantiate it, but I think to make the point and to make it very clear, this is speculation on my part, okay? I'm telling you that. I think the veil was ripped from top to bottom, and there was a little bit at the bottom that was not ripped in half, so that they would know that God ripped it from top to bottom, because man could rip it from bottom to top. And if it was torn all the way in two, they wouldn't have been able to determine that it was ripped from top to bottom. That didn't cost you anything. That's a freebie. This still leaves 3.5 years before the end of Daniel's 70th week, the 490 years, and the close of the probation for Israel. The gospel was still to go to the Jews exclusively for the remaining time. So what happened at the end of the 490 years? Stephen gave one immense and very significant speech before the Sanhedrin. This was God giving the Jews their final chance to repent. How did they respond, and what did they do? Let's read this chapter. Let's read this portion together, because this is fantastic. This was the last chance that these people had to receive Messiah before trouble was going to begin to really come upon that land. And it was about, let's see, it was probably around 70 A.D. So this would have been around 34, was when he was crucified. So then he had 40, that'd be around 70 to 72 AD, somewhere along. But we call it 70 AD, but it was right at 70 AD when all those events took place. Here's what Stephen said in Acts 7:54-60. They said that when he heard those things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. In other words, they put their fingers in their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And he cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul later became Paul. Think about that. Saul was there when Stephen was stoned. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, they saw Stephen calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Notice this is an extremely significant event as we see Stephen says, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. It is also interesting to note that Stephen effectively said, further forgive them, for they know not what they do. The final 3.5 years, which was the same length of time as the ministry of Jesus Christ, ended with the death of Stephen and him effectively saying the same words of Jesus when he was crucified. This marked the end of a very significant time period, beginning, being the end of Daniel's 70 weeks. In the autumn of the year AD 34, the Jewish leaders rejected the gospel message. They openly declared this rejection by stoning of Stephen and was approved holy by the holy as in everyone, as in whole, complete, by the leaders of Israel. The sad historical fact is Stephen was the first Christian martyr killed by the hands of the Jewish nation itself. The 490 years were up, and the Jews not only did not repent, but they killed the very Messiah they had been waiting for, as well as the final messenger that was sent to give them their final chance to repent. The Jews were now rejected as God's chosen nation and were no different from the Gentiles. After Jesus was baptized by John, Jesus states the following in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What is this time that is fulfilled that Jesus speaks of here? I'm sure you already know, but note the following Bible commentary for that comment, for this confirmation. In Adam's commentary of the Bible, he says, this is the time appointed for sending the Messiah, and particularly the time specified by Daniel 9:24-27. So Daniel's prophecy was absolutely significant in everything that was covered. Everything. So we see that the 70th week of Daniel is critical. And again, this 70 weeks does not apply to Antichrist and a 7-year tribulation period at the end of time. You can't go on any Christian website or hardly any television program without hearing rapture, 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 rapture. We're going to get out of here. And one of the biggest problems that came about because of this, and this truly came into being, it was mentioned about Robert, but it came into being in its fruition through the writings of C.I. Schofield, J.N. Darby, Maitland, and others, and they put it all together, and they took it to prophetic meetings that became popularized. It was brought here to the United States. A group of men got together and formed a group, and they published the Oxford Bible Company, which published the Schofield Reference Bible, which was edited, revised, and changed numerous times to fall in line with their particular doctrine. And the Schofield Reference Bible became the central point of a lot of modern theology because it was popularized. It was the thing at that time. They advertised that Bible widely. It became very popular. It was picked up in the beginning by a group of men at Dallas Theological Seminary, and it's still taught there today. D.L. Moody was influenced by it, and even after the Azusa Street Revival in 1906, many of the Pentecostal denominations at that time didn't have printing materials for themselves, so they went up to Moody Press, which had the capacity to do that, and Moody Press printed the materials for the various other denominations, the Assemblies of God, Church of God, the Church of God in Christ, and others. They came along about that time right out of Azusa Street, printed their materials, and again, this doctrine was popularized because that was in their material. And that's how it got into this place. So it became widespread And then we come down to Hal Lindsey and his book, The Late Great Planet Earth. And then we come up with the books on the Left Behind series. And all of these things are based upon fiction. There is no truth in any of them. I challenge you to find me one verse of scripture in the Bible that absolutely proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that we will be taken out of here at any point in time like that. It does not exist. And because of that, we as a church have become complacent. We've become lazy. We've been set back, and we don't fulfill our role of responsibility to preach the gospel of the kingdom into all the world, and then shall the end come. It says that's what's going to happen. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom, not necessarily the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto all the world, and then shall the end come. That's when Jesus is going to come back. That's when he's going to appear. And at his second appearing, every eye shall see him. Everyone shall behold him. It will not be done in secret. We can see that. And if you go through scriptures, you can't find it. One of the most favorite verses that's used of all, and I've quoted this many, many, many times, it's in 1 Thessalonians, I think it's in chapter 4. Yes, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep of those that are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." They quote this scripture all the time. This is the premier scripture that's used for the rapture. But listen, it says he's coming with a shout. It's going to be loud. And I've even heard some say, well, listen now, when Jesus comes back in the rapture, the shout's only going to be heard by the Christians. It doesn't say that in scripture, does it? That's not in here. That's not in this passage at all. It's nowhere in the Bible that it says only the, quote, Christians are going to hear that. Okay? And as it says, with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. It's going to be loud. You're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So when we know that we see the graves opening and they're coming out, and we've heard the shout and we've heard the trumpet and we see the graves opening up, and he also says in another passage, he says that as the lightning comes out of the east and shines to the west, that every eye shall see him. And he talks in scripture about sending forth his angels to gather his elect. And he takes the chaff and burns it and gathers the wheat into his barn. And he separates out the wicked from the righteous. He does that at his coming. There is no secret thing in between. We need to understand that. We need to get that straight. So, again, questions, comments, email us pastor_dean@yahoo.com. We'll get back with you. My name is Charlie. I work with Pastor Dean. Those of you who are familiar with the Facebook and with us here on Blog Talk Radio, we work together in this ministry in every effort that the Lord has given us to educate, encourage, and to give you things that will help you in your Christian experience so that you can grow up to be a son and daughter of God. Not a child, not a baby. We go through the stages of being an infant, a child, a toddler. We grow up into young childhood, and we carry on until such time as we become mature in Christ. And when we become mature in Christ and show responsibility, then at that point in time, when we become the true sons and daughters of God, because we will have been trained to do what the Lord asks us to do. So I encourage you people to search the scriptures. I've given you a lot tonight. I've given you a lot of information. I've given you a lot of commentary from various sources so that you can see what the 70th week of Daniel talks about. It's very, very, very clear that it was not talking about an antichrist. It was talking about Christ, the Messiah, and you can see it for yourself. I've given a lot of scripture. I trust you all wrote it down again. We will try to help you if we can. So we appreciate the opportunity to come to you on this broadcast and to share things with you. We will be back. There will be a Bible study tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on Facebook. Pastor Dean will share it. It will also be on my Facebook at Charles Sims on Facebook. It will be there. So we'll be on at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. But again, just briefly, let me go one more time quickly through the 490 years. In 457 B.C., the decree was given to rebuild Jerusalem. That was 49 years, and that was up until 408 B.C. And then we have the 62 weeks of 434 years. That brings us up to A.D. 27, where Jesus Christ is baptized at the River Jordan. The Holy Spirit comes upon him, and Christ is placed as a son, where Jesus says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And halfway through of A.D. 31, in the spring of that year, that's where Jesus Christ was crucified. The sacrifices and oblations ceased. They ended. All of it came to a conclusion, not to be repeated ever again. The Lord doesn't want it. The Lord doesn't have it. There's not a separate way unto salvation. That was the end of it right there. So when it ended, and everything with it ended. And there's still a lot of controversy within churches about this, because a lot of churches still try to put people under that old law, and that old law was done away with. Not the moral law, the ceremonial law, and all those things that came with the ceremonial law. In A.D. 34, 3.5 years after that, Stephen spoke. It was a powerful, powerful, powerful message. I encourage you to read that, Acts, of Stephen's final message and what he had to say, and you will see why they became so angry with him, took him without the city and stoned him. And Paul was right there with them. Paul was right there. And we know later what Paul did, that he went out and he was going to gather up all these Christians, and he killed some, he threw them in jail, he did all kinds of things. Until the day that Mr. Paul was on the road to Damascus and he got knocked down, and Christ revealed himself to Paul. And Paul's first response was, who are you? He says, "Lord, what would you have me do?" A word to that effect. Paul knew he'd run into Jesus Christ. He knew he had run into somebody that was way beyond him. And he says, "Saul, Saul, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And man, Paul was smitten blind for 3 days. The same one now that was at the stoning of Stephen. He was blind for 3 days in Damascus. And the Lord spoke to one prophet. We only have one record of him speaking. But he spoke to that prophet, one Ananias, says, "Go and prophesy to Paul and tell him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So when you read what Ananias said to Paul, you will find that Paul went through all those things that the Lord prophesied to him. So I trust that this lesson tonight, this commentary on the 70 weeks of Daniel, has been profitable to you, and that it has been a blessing to you. And I just trust the Lord will help you to see and understand what the 70 weeks of Daniel are and what they mean. Because it has been so, so, so misinterpreted for so long. And the Lord wants us to get back to his word, back to his truth, back to what he says, back to what the scriptures teach us, so that we can all grow together, that we can all grow up. And when we grow up in Christ, we can be with him. We will be with him for an eternity. I'm awaiting the parousia of Christ. I'm awaiting his return. I'm awaiting for him to come back. I'm awaiting to meet him in the air and return with him. By the way, that's what that scripture means. When he says we'll meet the Lord in the air, it means to go out and meet him and return immediately with him. It's like someone comes to my home and I go outside and meet them and bring them back into my home. When Jesus comes in those clouds, we're not going to fly off somewhere for 7 years. When Jesus comes back, he's going to declare this place is his own, and he's going to declare it as his. And when he comes back, we see him. the dead in Christ rise first. We rise up to meet him in the air, and we return back with him. Look it up. I challenge you Bible students to look it up and to see what the Lord has to say concerning that. Before we close tonight, I want us to take a few moments to talk about being saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He gave his life a ransom for you. He gave his life so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm not talking about money. But what Christ did is that he came as a baby in a manger, grew to a man, ministered for 3.5 years, did great, wonderful miracles of healings, of restoration, of raising people from the dead, and did many mighty works. And when he died on that cross, the pure, unblemished, sacrificial blood spilled out of him. And so the sacrifice that God himself required was paid. The debt was paid in full. He fulfilled everything. He fulfilled every tiny little comma, period, whatever you want to put on it. He fulfilled it all. He didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it. And when it's fulfilled, that's like a contract. Once you fulfill that contract, you're no longer obligated to it. So he fulfilled that covenant, which is stronger than a contract, with God himself, and fulfilled that contract, that covenant, and said, I will be the sacrifice. He gave his life. He shed his blood so that you and I can be in Christ. Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we want to pray right quickly. For those of you that are there, you can pray with me if you wish. And we say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice. And Lord, I agree with what the Bible says, that I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in my heart, O Lord, that you raised him from the dead, that you resurrected him. And Lord, by the confession of my mouth and my belief, I confess unto salvation. The Lord, I decree that you are my Savior, you are my Messiah, and I receive you as my Savior and as my Messiah. And Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice for me. And Lord, I give my heart and life to you, and I thank you for it and give you the praise, honor, and glory for it. In Christ's name, amen. I got about a minute and a half left here. So, again, thank you for listening. It's appreciated. Again, tomorrow night on Facebook, there will be a teaching that's done. I'm going to do a teaching on, it's not time yet, but I'm going to do a teaching. The Lord has dealt with me to do a teaching on the resurrection, because that, again, is grossly misunderstood, what the resurrection is and what it means. And we'll be doing that tomorrow night, Wednesday night. And then Thursday night, we'll be back together for Blog Talk Radio again. Join us Thursday night at 9 o'clock. At 10 o'clock on Friday night will be the Hour of Power. And tune in to that. So that will also be on Facebook from Pastor Dean. Tune in to that so that you can be blessed by the sharing of God's word there, that the Lord can encourage you and bless you. And on Friday nights, we pray for people's healings and other things as they need. And so we thank you for the opportunity of being with you. I appreciate the opportunity of having to share this commentary with you tonight. Again, it is appreciated. I appreciate Blog Talk Radio for allowing us to have this time. We love you all. We appreciate you. We love our audience. Be in touch with us, and we thank you for it. We thank you for these things. Good night.